Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 19, 23 through 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?
Society often divides people into three economic classes. We hear about the rich and the middle class and the poor. This morning for our time, I want to do away with the so-called middle class and put people into one of two categories, either the rich or the poor, nothing in between. If we use this division, we may divide the rich and the poor into four smaller groups. That is, we may be physically rich as well as spiritually rich. We may be physically rich, but spiritually poor. We may be poor, both physically and spiritually. Or we may be poor physically, but rich spiritually. Only two of these four subcategories can get us to heaven. If, of course, we are poor physically and spiritually, we will not spend eternity with God. If, on the other hand, we are physically rich, but spiritually poor, we're not going to make it either. So we want to, for our time together, look at these four subcategories. And as we think about these four divisions, we find that the Bible has a lot to say about the word rich. For the scripture reading, Joshua just read for us, Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 25. And we heard there that it is hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Well, hard, of course, is not the same as impossible. Hard simply means that it's going to be with difficulty, a great deal of effort will be required, but it is certainly possible. Some, as we look at society, seem to have the idea that if a person is wealthy, if a person is materially well off, they are somehow evil or corrupt or wicked. They got their money through lying or cheating or stealing. They were somehow generally immoral. But as you look at Matthew 19, you find that Jesus disputes that. He makes it clear that that is not the case, at least not the case in every instance. We have here a man who is very wealthy, and the Bible says he asked about inheriting eternal life. In verse 16, he comes to the Lord, and he says, What must I do? Well, Jesus, of course, gave him a biblical answer. He said that the man needed to keep the commandments. And many, of course, of the commandments in the Old Testament were associated with the Ten Commandments as well as many others. So because there were numerous commandments, this man asks, which ones? And then Jesus, of course, if we back up a little bit in verses 18 and 19, he gives the man a list. Again, if you're turning there, Matthew chapter 19, verses 18 and 19 is where we begin. He saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now here was a rich man, and as you look at the text, he makes it clear that he had followed the commandments. He had not killed anyone. He had not used his money to be involved with adultery. He had not used his wealth. He had not gotten his wealth, rather, from theft. He had not lied to get ahead. He had not done any of those things. Presumably, he had not also failed to honor his parents. Verse 19. According to this man's response, he was rich, but he had kept all the commandments. Every item that Jesus listed, he'd abided by in his life. If you have the King James translation, you'll notice that it says, in or from my youth. Now, that's not in all versions because of a manuscript variation, but we do know that we can have confidence in that expression because in Luke's account, Luke 18, verse 21, there it specifically says, from his youth in other translations. We want to stay with Matthew's account and supplement what we've said so far with the information in verse 20. The young man said unto him, All these things have I observed. And again, from his youth, Luke 18, 21. And then he asked, What lack I yet? I've done all these things. I've not been involved in the bad things that you've described. Honored my parents. Every single thing I've kept. What do I lack? Well, the man's questions show beyond any doubt that being rich does not mean that a person is necessarily immoral or somehow ungodly. Well, since we know that it's possible to be righteous, and yet there is still a potential barrier to heaven, we ask what that barrier is. And Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said unto him, If thou would be perfect, that is, there is something that's lacking, go sell that what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, here was a man who loved God. Loving God was on his list of priorities. Unfortunately, God was not his first priority. And that's why Jesus was able to say in Matthew chapter 19 that riches can be a barrier to entering into the kingdom of God. Here is a man who was rich physically. But I submit for your consideration that he was spiritually poor. Now, as you look at the account, some might say, well, no, I just have a hard time with that. Why, Brad, would you say that the man was spiritually poor? Here was a fella, when Jesus listed the commandments, this man was able to say, not only have I kept these commandments, but I have kept them from my youth. How can we say that he was poor? Well, we can say that he was poor because he was not willing to follow Christ. The Bible says he went away and he was sorrowful. If he were spiritually rich, he would have been joyful. And he would have followed Jesus, but he did not do that. We never, as people, want to find ourselves in a position of being physically rich but spiritually poor. But a lot of people do. You may remember another story from Jesus, Luke chapter 12. There was a man, a farmer, who had many material goods. He decided that he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger barns because he had many items. But Jesus says he did not get to enjoy those possessions for very long. Jesus spoke about this man and others failing to be rich towards God. That is, they failed in this spiritual wealth. Another Bible illustration at this point comes from the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And again, based on what's said in Luke chapter 16, the man was not an evil man. He was not a corrupt man. But yet we know what happened to him. Material wealth with spiritual poverty is a worthless approach to life. It yields, at least in the end, absolutely nothing. Well, earlier we mentioned a second possibility concerning money or possessions and wealth and spirituality. There are examples of people being rich, both physically and spiritually. Maybe one of the most prominent examples comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19. There we read about a man named Zacchaeus. Luke 19:2 says he was rich. He was very rich. Not only was this man rich, he had a good job and was quite prosperous. He also, in verse 8 of Luke chapter 19, says, after he met up with Jesus, that he was ready to give half his goods to the poor. Teresa and I one time had a chance to give a certain percentage of our amount, and I thought about that over the years. It wasn't quite 50%, but I've wondered over the years, what if we were asked, what if we were put into a position where we were asked to give half of the things that we have? What if we looked at our bank account and said, I'm going to take half of that and give that to the poor, give that to people who need it? If some did that, of course, they would not be in a very good position. They would not be able to make their house payment or have any grocery money. But let's suppose that we, if not half, we could take a fourth of what we have and still make the bills. Or we could take 10% of what we have and give it away. Would we? It's an interesting question. In the life of this man, we find an example of being wealthy spiritually and wealthy material. But he's not the only one. In the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, there we have specific information directed to those who are materially wealthy. And there the Bible says that the rich can be also rich in good works. Verse 18. The ultimate example, though, of as far as being spiritually wealthy and wealthy from the standpoint of other items is found in the life of the Lord. Jesus was as rich could be. No one has ever been richer than Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible specifically says that Jesus was rich. Complementary passage would be John verse 1 of the first chapter. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. If you're God, you're rich. You have it all. And that was Jesus. In John 16, verse 15, Jesus said, I have whatever the Father has. And then, too, we think about Colossians 1, verse 16. Jesus says, all things that have been created through me, they have been created through me. Of course, then, by extension, they ultimately belong to the Lord. Jesus was wealthy beyond what we can ever imagine, what we can ever hope to have. And yet, we also find, as far as his spiritual wealth, that was also there in abundance. No human being has ever been closer to the Father than Jesus was in his earthly state. There is only one time that I know of when Jesus said, Our Father. And that is in the model prayer. When you look at Jesus and the word Father, you find that again and again he spoke of my Father. So Jesus did have that spiritual wealth to a degree that if we can't comprehend, we certainly will never have. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus was willing to share as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible also says he became poor. He not only was physically rich and spiritually wealthy, but he was able to share that as well. Jesus was not poor, but he became that way for us. Most find that physical wealth and spiritual wealth are a difficult combination to bring together. Many have lost their spiritual wealth because of physical health, but that doesn't always happen. It did not happen in the life of the Lord. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, recognized that it did not need to happen there, and certainly that did not happen in the life of Zacchaeus. Well, since we've mentioned two categories of wealth, we might suspect that there are two additional categories, and these, of course, would be the two. that are directly related to poverty. And this is exactly what we find in the scriptures. There are the people in life who are physically poor, and they are also spiritually poor. Physical poverty, as you look at the Bible, was certainly a problem in first century times. There were people who were so poor that the Bible tells us about beggars. Even in Judaism, as good as that system was as far as benevolence, it did not completely cure the problem of poverty. You may remember from John chapter 12, verse 8, that Jesus said, and this was a prediction, the poor will always be in the world. And he was exactly right. 2,000 years later, we've not worldwide solved the problem of poverty. Even before Jesus came, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, that the poor would never vanish. So long before Jesus entered into the world, God made that prediction. He was exactly right. Jesus made that prediction, and he was on target too. Well, who is poor? At the present time, everybody has their own definition of that. One person's definition of poor is vastly different from another. But in some parts of the world, and maybe this is the best definition, a poor person is someone who has no house, no food, and no clothing. Here, of course, if a person has an undesirable house, or a limited selection of clothing, or maybe not all the food that they would prefer to have, a person may consider them poor. But that certainly was not the case in other parts of the world in the past, and in other parts of the world today. As we look at our country, we find that poor people, individuals in poverty, that is a problem in America. I saw some estimates this past week as far as poverty, and it says half the children now living, not just in America, but throughout the world, are living in poverty. There are studies that say that 246 million children are working to provide for their families right now because of poverty. 246 million children, young people, at the age of 5 or 6 or 10 or 12, trying to help mom and dad get along. Poverty is a major problem in this world as well as every other nation on the earth. If physical poverty were the only problem, it would be bad. But you know, physical poverty is not the only problem. There is also spiritual poverty. Among the poor, we find that there are people who have either no faith or they have an improper faith. As I think about this in relation to the Bible, I find, for example, in Luke chapter 17, that there was a man who had leprosy and he was with 9 others. You may remember from the story that Jesus and his apostles were on the way to Jerusalem. The Bible says that the Lord was on the way, and he entered into a certain village. And there, of course, he was met by 10 men who had a dreaded disease. As you look at the account, the text says that these men lifted up their voices, and they pleaded for mercy. Jesus was willing to help these lepers, and he gave them instructions, and these fellows went off to the priests, and as they were making that trip, they were cleansed. Luke goes on to tell us something else. As those 10 men were making that trip, only one came back to the Lord. And the Bible says he glorified God. I'm turning to that particular account. We've pretty much highlighted all of the information as far as the basic facts. But I do want to read 2 verses from that particular chapter. Again, it's Luke chapter 17. The information that we want is coming from verses 15 and 16. And one of them, that of course would be one of the lepers who was cured, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. 10 men were healed. And it is a fair inference. It's reasonable to say that these men were poor. Leprosy, of course, was a dreaded disease. It meant that these men were social outcasts. There was not a person who would hire them to do a job. For all practical purposes, these 10 men had been cut off or separated from society. In fact, if you look at verse 12, there the Bible says they stood afar off. Nobody wanted anything to do with these men. These fellows may not have faced abject poverty, but they surely were not rich. In addition to having some financial challenges, they were spiritually poor. And I base that on the fact that 9 of these people who were cured of a dreaded disease, perhaps one of the worst diseases in first century times, they did not come back and thank Christ. A thankless heart points to someone who is spiritually desperate. Imagine a person who is cured of a terrible problem today. Maybe a problem such as AIDS or cancer or something similar, and there is no thankfulness whatsoever. That's what we have here. God healed an illness for which there was no cure. Only 1 of the 10 came back and said, thank you. Then Jesus said, this man was a stranger. That is, he was a Samaritan. If by this text the others were Jews, and that seems to be what Jesus is saying, then even though they were Jewish, even though they had that system that Moses had given, spiritually they were poor. Today, of course, there are a lot of people in that same situation. We have people who are poor, physically speaking. They may have some Bible knowledge, but either that knowledge is not enough to help them do what they need to do, or it is not used. Physical poverty plus spiritual poverty equals destruction, and it's so sad. It's a very sad thing because it does not have to be that way. Most of the world lives in physical poverty, and we cannot help every single person. We can do a little here and a little there, but there are going to be people throughout our lifetime and after, if the world continues to stand, who will struggle with this particular difficulty. Well, we cannot end physical poverty. The Bible says we can deal with spiritual poverty, and this is the fourth group or the fourth class of people. As I thought about this particular class, my mind went back to two accounts, Mark chapter 12 and also what Luke says in Luke chapter 21. Jesus, Mark says in Mark 12:41, was sitting down, and he was near the treasury. That, of course, was where they collected money for the temple and other things in the city of Jerusalem. And Mark says in his account that there were some people in this area, and they were rich. Not only were wealthy people in this area, but the Bible says they were making contributions on this day. Not only were they rich, and not only were they making contributions on this day, Jesus was watching. And Jesus was able to see that these wealthy people were casting in much. That's a direct quotation from the text. Now, we are not told. We do not know if these people were physically wealthy and spiritually wealthy. That's a possibility. Or they may have been physically wealthy but spiritually poor. We simply don't know. But we did know from both accounts that there was a widow who came along. And surely that was a common place in Israel, but in this particular case, this widow was poor. Not only was she poor, in Mark 12, verse 44, the Bible tells us she cast in all her living. Now, if you look at the life of Christ and the apostles, you find that they met lots and lots of people. And out of all the people that they dealt with, only a very small number do we find recorded in the four Gospels. But here's a woman who is recorded not only once, but twice out of the four accounts that we have of Jesus' life. She's not named, but we do know her basic living conditions. Again, she was by herself as far as not having a mate, and she was so poor physically, she had about as little as anyone can have, because the Bible specifically describes what she cast in. It was about a penny or 2 pennies worth of money, and that was all her living. Even if this woman stayed dirt poor all her life, she never amassed what we would call even a state of poverty, and certainly never reached middle class. She was rich in the one way that counts. She was spiritually rich. So rich that Jesus commended her to the disciples, and she's mentioned twice in the gospel accounts. Her life and her choice causes us to look at our own lives. There are really only four possibilities when we look at this particular area or subject, and we've given them all this morning. What if, therefore, someone asked if we are physically rich or spiritually poor? What would we say? What would our answer be? Well, if we have food and we have clothing and we have shelter, we can. And we should compare ourselves to people who are rich. May not be rich by the standard that we Americans use, but by the standard that many use in the world, that is wealth. Even if we consider ourselves poor, what about the second and the more important question? Are we spiritually rich? Or are we, as an individual, spiritually poor? You know, that's the only question that really matters. That's the only thing that really counts. Is our Christian life a success, or is it a dud? How sad it would be to be physically poor in this life and then spiritually bankrupt for eternity. How foolish it would be to be materially rich, but to have nothing or not enough in our spiritual bank account. Jesus came, you may remember from John chapter 10, so that we might have life. And Jesus said he came so that we might have that life in abundance. Have we found that life? As we look at our Christian life, is it a life of spiritual abundance? Are we spiritually rich? If not, we need help. And God says that help is available. We initially access that help by becoming a Christian. Faith in Christ, that puts us on the right track to spiritual wealth. Repentance, that also helps us. Confessing the name of Christ and finally being baptized in the Lord's spiritual body so we have access to every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. That's spiritual wealth. And then we continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. We continue to put on those Christian qualities so that we can have true spiritual wealth. How is your spiritual health and your spiritual wealth this morning? Is it at zero because you've not become a child of God? This morning you can change that. Or if you have become a Christian and you need some help to increase that, you would like some prayer, some encouragement, we can study with you. We'd like to know what we can do. And we stand ready to offer that help as we stand and sing the selected song.